The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
When notable major events take place and the mainstream media immediately jumps on those news stories, I typically don't respond immediately. I've learned to wait, to do research, gather information, and then do my best to separate the hype from the deliberate lies. But I've watched the situation in Minnesota unfold for many weeks now, and the time has come to speak, because there certainly seems to be a lot being exposed there all at once now. When situations like this develop, I have to wonder why we're being allowed to see this, and why now? The current situation in Minnesota began with Operation Metro Surge, starting in December, as the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, launched a concentrated deployment of agents there, mainly in the Twin Cities, focusing on an enormous population of illegal immigrants, mostly Somalians, estimated now at least 100,000 people. But then, at the end of December, allegations of massive fraud emerged, involving over $100 million federal dollars being sent to fund Somali-run child care centers. On December 31st, the Trump administration launched an investigation into the situation. Initial findings show more than $9 billion of fraud in more than a dozen Medicaid-funded programs in Minnesota, again, centered around Somali-run child care centers and other organizations. Citizen reporters have tracked down some of these daycare centers and found several buildings that appear to have been abandoned some time ago, some with blacked-out windows in neighborhoods that were not child-friendly, and one that was vacant on a previous weekday now suddenly had about 50 children inside. At least one facility that is in operation has had a child die there and other children injured in previous months. But this isn't Minnesota's first rodeo. I should mention the Feeding Our Future scandal. Feeding Our Future was a Minnesota nonprofit originally set up during COVID to help provide meals to children. But federal prosecutors determined that instead of feeding kids, the organization and a giant web of associates fraudulently stole hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's how it worked. They signed up hundreds of supposed meal sites across Minnesota. Then they submitted fake documentation, including meal counts, attendance records, and invoices, claiming to serve meals that were never actually provided. They received reimbursements from the Federal Child Nutrition Program based on those false records, and used the stolen funds for personal enrichment, including luxury vehicles, real estate, and travel. According to federal sources, Feeding Our Future and its co-conspirators fraudulently obtained more than $240 million in program funds between 2020 and 22. Hundreds of fraudulent sites were identified, and by last year, at least 78 people had been indicted or charged. Of those 78, 72 were Somali nationals, and 57 of those have already been convicted. So the powers that be have known about the fraud and theft of public monies for years, but only now is the mainstream media letting the cat out of the bag. Interestingly, it comes as Trump has launched Operation Metro Surge in the Twin Cities, as ICE and other federal agents attempt to round up illegals there, which has brought us to where we are now, on the brink of civil war. Leftist Americans are siding with their Islamic neighbors, labeling ICE agents as Gestapo and fighting law enforcement in a highly organized way. More on that shortly, but we shouldn't forget the recent reports from Homeland Security officials revealing TSA screenings at the Minneapolis airport have flagged huge amounts of cash being flown out of the country in the last 2 years. We're talking a minimum of $342 million that we know of in 2024, $349 million in 2025. This cash was carried by Somali couriers and flown on routes to Amsterdam and then Dubai. Some individual pieces of luggage contained as much as $1 million in cash. This money has been funding Al-Shabaab, known for suicide bombings, assassinations, improvised explosive devices, and attacks on government forces. They've sworn allegiance to Al-Qaeda since 2012. There's also the Islamic State in Somalia, which is linked directly to ISIS. Your tax dollars at work, folks, stolen through fraud and likely orchestrated by government traitors working for the people of the state of Minnesota. Somalians began arriving in Minnesota in 1991. The Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area now has the largest Somali population in the U.S., and they have not come to America to become Americans. As the internet will tell you in the politically correct manner that it does, they live in ethnic enclaves. That means no-go zones to you and me. Some will call their political involvement assimilation, but infiltration would be a more accurate description. Minnesota boasts the notorious Ilhan Omar, the first Somalian woman placed in the U.S. Congress. But Muslims also hold other high political offices in Minnesota, including Keith Ellison, the state attorney general, Nadia Muhammad, mayor of St. Louis Park, also from Somalia, Omar Fata, a Minnesota state senator, also from Somalia, Zainab Muhammad, another state senator, and also from Somalia, and then there's Mohamed Noor, a state representative and another Somalian, and Abdi Warsi, a former Minneapolis City Council member and also a Somalian. Now, the internet will tell you that Minnesota has such a strong Islamic presence in local, state, and federal politics because of their enormous Somali population, which has helped create voting blocks and community organization. But Muslims have been engaging in migration jihad for decades now. We've witnessed what's happened to Western European countries, where Muslims overwhelm the infrastructure, then establish their own communities, then take over political power. We've warned of this for decades, yet very few have taken this seriously. Surely that could never happen in America. Surely never in a place like Minnesota. Well, I hate to say I told you so, but yes, there are some Somalians and other Muslims that hold jobs and support themselves honestly, but most do not. Now, that's not rhetoric or Islamophobia. The numbers tell the story. Instead of working, the Center for Immigration Studies reports that 89% of Somali immigrant households with children use some welfare, with 86% on Medicaid. That's versus 28% for native-born Americans. 81% of Somali households are on welfare overall. 80% remain on welfare even after 10 years or more living in the U.S. And 54% rely on food stamps. Only 7% of native-born Americans do. I wouldn't call that assimilation. It's called working the system, and they're very good at it. So that's a lot of information about Islam and Somalians in Minnesota. Now I'll ask again, why are we getting so much news about all this now? Our political leaders have known about all this forever. But now they and their cohorts in the mainstream media have released this damning information to the public. At the same time, ICE mounts a major operation in the Minnesota-Somali community, sparking outrage among the leftist rioters there. I believe it's another attempt to divide Americans and bring chaos and perhaps even civil war as Americans attack other Americans. Tensions in Minnesota have continued to rise. The opposition to ICE, as in other American cities, has been fierce and well-coordinated. The fingerprints of George Soros are all over this. In fact, we know that his Open Society Foundation has provided millions in grants to groups like the Sunrise Movement, now openly supporting resistance against ICE activities. Why is Soros still not in prison? You may be surprised to know that other nonprofits like the Ford Foundation and the MacArthur Foundation also support the Sunrise Movement. Local activist groups in Minnesota also receive funding through broader nonprofit channels. And just as they also help facilitate the invasion of our borders by illegals, professing Christian organizations are also heavily involved. We know of Catholic Charities, the ELCA Lutheran Churches, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Methodist Church, and many others. So-called churches that will not support or preach the commands of God Almighty, but are proud to hang a rainbow flag on their building, endorse sodomy, baby murder, and interfaith dialogue with worshipers of a false god. These groups are also helping to organize and train people to assault and attack law enforcement while protecting the enemy within. These groups attract an inordinate number of purple-haired warriors. That's a term coined by David T. Kloft in a brilliant article he wrote for the American Free News Network. I need to quote from this because it's so spot on. He writes, "There she is again, small, loud, highly visible, and absolutely convinced she's saving the planet by screaming at strangers in public while someone films it for Instagram. You've seen her, big glasses, septum ring, hair the color of a microwave grape popsicle. A face that says, I'm here to save humanity, paired with the emotional regulation of a toddler who missed nap time and found the cookie jar anyway. And she is not simply protesting, she's crusading. She's not arguing policy, she's delivering judgment. Modern activism isn't just politics anymore. It's religion, except the God is ideology. The scripture is whatever the trend says this week, and the holiness comes from being angry in public." Here's the part people miss. The purple-haired warrior doesn't show up because she's carefully studied immigration law, enforcement authority, economics, and the Constitution, then calmly concluded that blocking vans and traffic is the best way to improve life for everyone. No, she shows up because she has an ache, a low-grade emptiness, a craving for purpose. And in a society that has hollowed out family, faith, and local community, that ache gets answered in the cheapest, easiest, and most intoxicating way imaginable. Join a movement, declare yourself righteous, and pick an enemy. I really wish I had time to share that whole article with you because it's excellent and describes the far left, often homosexual and lesbian crusaders, fighting back against the man, the perceived enemy who in reality is simply enforcing the laws that our once civilized society agreed were reasonable and necessary to maintain order and a semblance of justice. Recently, I read an article published locally that describes how these ICE protesters operate. It was written to make them out to be heroes of freedom and civil rights. This article describes how these anti-ICE people are organized, how they network using encrypted messaging apps and social media, how they patrol areas of Minneapolis looking for ICE agents to taunt so they can impede their work, and then call on hundreds of other activists just waiting for the alert on their phones or the sound of whistles blowing so they can assemble and mount the attack. The newspaper that published this article should be ashamed for framing such deluded criminal conspirators as heroes. Lawlessness abounds, and like other American cities and states, Islam has now conquered Minnesota. I never thought I'd see the day, but here we are. And the useful idiot protesting pawns on the left are dutifully kissing their feet. Deuteronomy 28 tells us what happens to a nation that refuses to obey Almighty God. Among the curses the nation will receive, we have this in verse 43. The foreign resident among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. All the wisdom of God is right there in His book for our benefit. Are you going to dust off your copy yet? Wake up, people, because America has fallen.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.